ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. As we've been looking at Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity, that we can come together and study your word, that we can look into what you have revealed to us today. And Father, I pray it will strengthen us and give us that which we need each day of our lives as we journey through this world of sin and woe. Lord, I ask you today that you might touch the hearts of our hearers. They might listen to your word. The Spirit of God might have free access into their hearts. And for all that's done today, we pray that Jesus Christ might be lifted up and glorified. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Several years ago, back in the 1800s, there were two men in London who pastored tremendous large churches. One was named Joseph Parker, and he pastored the City Tabernacle, and then Charles Spurgeon pastored there in London also. And one Sunday, two men from America were visiting in London, and they decided that morning they would go and hear Joseph Parker preach. And after the service, as they were coming out of the church, one looked at the other and said, "Well, what did you think?" And he said, "Man, what a preacher." That evening, they decided to go hear Charles Spurgeon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And after the service, he said, "Well, what did you think?" And he said, "Man, what a Savior." You know, this morning, that's what Paul is concluding here in our chapter today. He is really concluding the doctrinal portion of Ephesians, and he begins to speak this morning about the grace and the love and the power of God. And it seems to me as he gets toward the end of this chapter, he just kindly burst into a song of praise and worship unto the Lord today. Sometimes people, as they end a service, they end it with a song called a doxology. It's a short song where people stand and sing a short hymn of praise to God. And I have nothing wrong with that. I think that might be a great idea sometimes. But today I hear quite a deal about worship. I hear this morning people always talking about worshiping the Lord. You know, we even have many churches today. I was watching one service on television this morning, and they had the worship pastor. Many people have a praise team and a praise team leader today. And sometimes they're providing good entertainment, but I think here Paul, as he was contemplating all that God had done throughout the ages, all that God had done in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls, all that he had done in the life of Paul as he had brought him up from the Damascus Road and sent him forward to be a messenger of the cross, that Paul just all at once in his heart realizes there for that moment of time what a really great God that we serve this morning. And you know, we serve a great God. In the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses is reiterating the law to the people of Israel before that he goes to his own grave today. Moses never got to go into the promised land. But in chapter number 10 of the book of Deuteronomy and verse number 21, listen what Moses says about the Lord. And this morning, this ought to be something that we take to heart. Moses said, He is thy praise. He is thy praise. Over in the book of Genesis, there's a place where Abraham finds that God is his reward. Many people are looking today to praise God for something that he's done for them, and that's wonderful to praise the Lord for what he's done for you, but when you begin to praise God just because he's God, he is thy praise. He is thy God that hath done for thee those great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. This morning we need today to understand that God is our praise and that he has done for us which nobody else could do. The book of Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 8, we find there that the psalmist, I believe, sums up this morning what we ought to all feel about the Lord today, how that we ought to go about maybe our daily lives when we begin to think about what God, who God is, and what God has done. The Bible said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Stand in awe of God. One of my favorite verses is found in Psalms 119 and verse 161. And here David said, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. You know, this morning we have the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and as Ronald Reagan once said, the answers to every question that plagues mankind is found in the Holy Bible. The words of God today, and how wonderful and glorious and marvelous they are. And sometimes you just have to stand back and think in awe of the Lord today that inspired the revelation of God that he's brought down to us. You know, we need to sometimes think, how big is God? How big is God? And how small are we? How big is God? And how small are we? Several years ago, when my oldest son was living in Senatobia, I'm not a great basketball fan, but someone that he worked with, coached with, had some tickets to the Memphis Grizzlies. And so I went with him to the Memphis Grizzlies game. And we had a pretty good seat, pretty down close to the court side. And you know, you watch these guys on television and you see glimpses of them on sportscast and so forth. But when you are sitting there and here come these NBA basketball players out, it's amazing. I mean, you know, we think about 6'9 and 6'10, but we think that's big, but boy, when you're sitting here and you're looking up, and that guy takes about three steps from one end of the court to the other, you know? And I'm thinking, boy, how little I am and how big that guy is. But that's nothing compared to how small we are and how big God is today. You think of what God, and that's what Paul, I believe, this morning as he burst into his doxology here. J.D. Phillips wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. I think sometimes our God is too small. We don't really think of the greatness of God. But our God this morning is an awesome God. You think about his power. You think about his majesty. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, Isaiah was a great prophet. Isaiah was true and faithful to the Lord. There came a time when King Uzziah died and Isaiah got all upset. He didn't know what Israel was going to do. I'm kind of reading between the lines, but this is what I believe happened. King Uzziah was a good king, but he died. Isaiah had been the prophet, and I'm sure things might have been going through Isaiah's mind of, what are we going to do now? In chapter number 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You see, he was looking at Uzziah and thought Uzziah was the big man. But God revealed to Isaiah. And Isaiah had to say, boy, I'm undone. He said, I'm here. And I looked and I saw God high and lifted up. You know, this morning we need to think of the majesty of God. We need to think about how majestic the Lord is. And we'll see ourselves as Isaiah saw himself. And he had to humble himself before God. This morning, and it's knowledge. You know, we think we're so smart today. We have all the answers to everything. But God asked Job, where were you? Where were you? You see, we don't have the answers to everything. But God today has the answers. God has all the knowledge. We're so puny when it comes to the Lord. We just discover what God's already created. He has ability and abundance and all of his attributes, all of those things this morning are so awesome. You look over when Jesus came. And you know, Jesus, of course, was our Savior, the Son of God. And the people of his day had to testify. You know, the Roman soldiers who went to take him and bring him back. And when they came back, they said, why didn't you bring him with you? And he said, never a man spoke like this man. Boy, he's awesome. We never heard anybody speak like this man speaks. The blind man. The Pharisees came to him in the Sanhedrin council and said, you quit praising that man. He's a sinner. He said, I don't know a whole lot about theology, but I know I was blind, but now I see. Even Pilate, as he stood before him and as he examined him this morning, he had to say, I find no fault in him. You see, this morning, God today is an awesome God. He's the creator. He created all that you and I see, simply spoke it into existence. You know, science today thinks they're so smart. I heard about a scientist, and he was bragging that he wouldn't be long before he could create a man just like you and I. And he challenged God. He said, God, I really don't believe in you, but if you're real, he said, I challenge you to a contest who could build the bigger man and the best man. All at once, God said, all right. And he reached down into the dirt, formed a man, breathed into his nostrils, and became a living soul. And the scientist went to reach down to get him some dirt, and God said, create your own dirt. Now you think about that. We're so smart, but God created all that we see. Just spoke it into existence. I can't imagine that. I believe it, but it's just so powerful that God could just say, let there be light, and there was light. He's the consister. The Bible says that by him all things consist. The only reason this thing doesn't unravel, the only thing, the reason this thing doesn't come unglued, is God is holding it together. You think about, well, we live in a messy, messy world. And if it weren't for God holding everything together and consisting it and being the glue that glues everything together, it'd just fly apart in a moment of time. But he's the consister. He's the glue that holds everything together. He this morning will be the conqueror. We read a lot about nuclear war, and we went through all of those stages years ago, and now I'm hearing quite a bit about it again, and it is a scary time. Don't misunderstand me. There may be some things happen, but I want you to understand this today. As I said years ago, and I'm still saying today, this is God's world. And when he gets ready to conquer it, it'll be him that conquers it, not anybody else. He's coming as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's able. Paul said, boy, he's able. He's able to do abundantly all, above all that we ask or think. Do for us what nobody else can do. Well, he does, and I guess God specializes sometimes in the impossible. You know, you look around and you read through the scripture, and you look around and you know people through your lives, and you find that God always able to save even the worst of sinners. Those that we think were probably be the worst of the bunch. And God somehow saves them. Think about the Roman jailer. A hard man. Man used to beating prisoners. A man that was tough as nails. But God brought him to his knees in tears, crying out, what must I do to be saved? You know, that's what the Lord can do. You say, how you know? Because I was the impossible sinner. I guarantee you, if you went back through my life, you'd have thought, he'll be the last one the Lord ever uses. He'd be the last guy that ever turns to the Lord, but thank God the Lord saved me. I look around you, most of you are impossible too. You aren't a bit better than I am. Why? Because we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God reached down, didn't he? And saved us. He was able to do for us what nobody else could do. Do for us what nobody else could do. I want to tell you this morning, he is our Savior. He saves the sinner. You know, we sometimes worry, and this nation is in terrible shape, but I think about Nineveh, and God sent Jonah to preach in Nineveh, and that nation, that city, bowed down before God. Situations. We go through a lot of situations in life, but God is always able to bring us through those situations. Amen. Peter in prison, about to be murdered, executed the next day to please the Jews. A political pawn of his time. Yet the angel of the Lord came, brought him through those Roman gates, and delivered him. And Peter went on to be a great apostle. You see, sometimes we get in impossible situations and God delivers. But he doesn't only deliver. We get in those situations and he gives us strength and courage to face whatever might happen. Paul was in prison just like Peter, awaiting his time of execution. I'm sure many prayers went up for the Apostle Paul. But there came a time when Paul realized that all of this is over. I'm not going to be released. I'm going to be executed. And he wrote to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. The bus is about to leave. The plane is about to depart. The time of my departure is at hand. And Paul wasn't bitter. Paul wasn't angry. You know what he said? I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be offered. You know, sometimes you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, and as you read through it, you think of the times that he said, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready to declare the gospel to those that are in Rome. To the ones in Philippi, he said, I'm ready to defend the gospel. And here he said, I'm ready to die for the gospel. I'm ready to be offered. This morning, no matter what our situation, God can bring us what we need in that hour. Nobody else can do that. Really? Nobody else can do that. Well, you get in situations, and I feel so inadequate sometimes as a pastor. You know, you walk into a hospital room, and the doctor just came in and said, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. You've got this much longer to live, and there's nothing medical science can do for you anymore. What do I say? What do I say? Honestly. I walk into a funeral home or a house where a death has occurred, and what do I say? I mean, we can use all the standard cliches, but, you know, really, that I'm not being ugly. I'm not saying we shouldn't be there. I'm not saying I'm not going to be there. And I'll do everything I can. But let me tell you the one thing that'll help you. In that situation, there's really nobody can do anything but God. He's the only one in that situation that can bring you comfort and strength and hope. I've been there. I know that. I mean, people were so nice. They're so great, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I thank God for people that just come and sit with you and talk to you. But the only real comfort you get is what God brings to you. God is able to do that, nobody else. Thank you. You see, God is able to do what you need today. Not just yesterday and not just tomorrow, but he's able to do today what you need in your life. Amen. Well, you look back on life and you see what God has done for you in the past. You look what God has done. And boy, you ought to just be able to break into praise as Paul did. You know, sometimes I worry and God works. Isn't that amazing? Desi and I sometimes, and right now we're looking at a decision we're having to make, and I ask you to pray for us that we'll follow God's will and allow God to work and do what needs to be done. But he's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. What do you need today? What does God need to do for you in your life? He can do it this morning. He's able to do it. Amen. He's my Savior. He's my provider and my strength. And he's my praise. Glory to God. That's what Paul says. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. I want to tell you this morning, we have to give Him glory. Amen. We have to give Him praise. My heart just overflows with what God has done for me today.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, what a great God we serve today.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. You think about that. You look around you today and you see every blessing and you see everything God has done in your life, and if you can't say what a great God. Oh, I want to tell you, you ought to get on your knees. Let me tell you this morning, God is able to do for you. And you, with the Apostle Paul, could say glory to God.
Amen.
What a great God we have today. Right here this morning, He can do for anybody what they need done in their life. If they need Christ, if they need to be saved, He can do that. If you need something else in your life, He's sufficient and able to do that. Whatever you need, God is able to do for you right here this morning. And you can leave, as with the Apostle Paul, saying praise and glory to the great God this morning.
Amen.
All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Rufus and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you might take this simple sermon, that you might use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name.